So you went to the church school?
Yeah.
What was your memory?
My sister went there. She was 6 years older than me. And when she used to go off to school, I used to put on my gas mask over my shoulder, walk up the road. Then she would go down to school, but I would have to turn around and go back home again because I wasn't old enough for school. But then when I did start school, by then she was at Yeovil High because she'd passed 11 plus. Mm-hmm. So I used to go, and Mr. Linley was the headmaster. I
heard that name, yep.
And then Mr. Bradfield and Miss Tabor.
Ooh.
She took the infants, and you started off. There were three tables in the room, and one was red, one was green, and one was yellow. And we used to have to start on the red table, sitting around that, and then you progressed as you sort of could learn the alphabet and count and things. And then we went from there into Mrs. Smith's head class, I think.
That name rings a bell as well from Brian's account of this.
Because it was in church school, and it was the middle bit and two bits on each side, and you started off up here with Miss Tabor and Mrs. Smith, and then you went into what was he called? Mr. Davis, I think.
Yes, that name's come up as well.
He used to live out at Courton Denham because I suppose the younger men had gone off to fight in the war. Mm. And he had taught and he came back. He used to cycle in from Courton Denham.
Here I hear, yes. I remember Brian said that.
Yeah.
So how did you find school? Was it something that came easy to you?
Oh, it was great. Learning? It was brilliant.
You got happy memories of your school
there.
Yeah,
very much so.
So you stayed there until you were how old?
11.
And then I remember the gas mask, having to take your gas mask to school and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it was a thing like Mickey Mouse.
All right.
It had big... I didn't know who Mickey Mouse was, but it was this smelly thing and it had big black ears. And you had to take it in case, but luckily... Mm. But do you know, I believe it's asbestos that they used to put in to stop gas going.
Yes.
Which can't really have been very good, can it?
No, it's a good thing you didn't have to use them.
Yeah,
properly.
Yeah.
And didn't you have to share your desks when...
Oh, yes, when the evacuees were there. Because it was a desk for two people, two inkwells, and the two little seats, that it wasn't just one plank across, they used to tip up.
Mm.
So you had three people there, so somebody had to sit on the gap in the middle. And they didn't have an inkwell, so they either had to reach over to get that one or, you know, go that way for that one.
Did you have an evacuee staying with you?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, Mum and Dad said they wouldn't go and choose somebody. They didn't think that was fair on the children.
Mm.
They'd take whoever came.
Mm-hmm.
And I was allowed to stay up late to meet him or her. And there was a knock on the door and Dad went to answer it. And I was sitting on Mum's lap and Dad said, "Oh, come on in, son." I remember Mum saying, "Oh, God, it's a boy." Because, you know, my sister and I, and then it was a boy. And my first memory of him is black lace-up shoes, like Dad's, only smaller, grey socks with a green tab on the garter, because he was a Boy Scout, I believe. And then scabby knees, like my sister's from when she fell over. And then a blue fringe, because I'd got so embarrassed, I jumped off Mum's lap, dived under the table, and there was a blue chenille cloth on top of the table. And I could see the fringe. Yeah.
Where had he come from?
East End of London.
Right. And his name?
Leslie Jones. And his sister Joyce was down with Mr. Hansford, just down the road. He was a shoemender.
And how long did he stay with you for?
Not that long, because he came with a school, I believe. And then the school was sent to somewhere else. I got a feeling the school was down at Venn, I'm not sure.
Ah, yes, I've heard
I've heard of that.
And then they were evacuated elsewhere.
To Venhouse. You didn't keep in touch then?
Oh, mum and... Well, the first weekend they could get down. The next weekend, Mr and Mrs Jones came just to check the children were okay where they were. And she and mum kept in touch until Mrs Jones died. Oh. It was lovely, yeah.
And you lived in Manor Road?
Manor Road, number 10.
Number 10. And then your parents lived there, obviously, after you left the village as well, then, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, yes. And after Dad, a year after Dad died, Mum moved down to Wheathill Close, I think they call it. The shelter.
Yes, oh, yeah. I know what you mean, yes. So, happy memories of being a child here.
Oh, yeah.
What sort of community was it? Was it a caring community? Did people tend to, help each other out?
I'm sorry, I would hate to live here now.
Oh, dear.
it was lovely. It really was. You knew who, instinctively, maybe because we listened to our parents, we knew who you could trust, and you could trust most people. There were some people we, wonder about, but no, it was lovely.
You had lots of family around, though, didn't you?
Yes.
Because your uncle owned the...
Yeah, because my grandfather had moved to Melbourne because he ran what's now the Tippling Philosopher, it was the King's Head.
Yes.
And he had three children. Mum was the eldest. And Dad got to know her and took up drinking beer so he could go and see her down at the King's Head. And Auntie Elsie married Ron Hallett, whose parents had the news agents opposite the King's Head.
Yes, which is still there. There's a news agent there still, yeah.
And then Uncle Proctor, he, much to my grandfather's disgust, joined the Navy. Because Grandpa Vaughan was very strict. He'd been a sergeant major and he'd got a military cross and things. And he was horrified that his son actually joined the Navy, if not the Army.
As if they were the enemy. you've obviously had a chance to have a little mooch about.
Yes.
So how... I know, obviously, you've got problems with your sight, but can you get a sense of how the village has changed over the years?
There's so many more houses.
Yes.
So many cars.
Yes.
Yeah. It was great because the men used to work in the two glove factories. Mm-hmm. Well, the women could work until they were married.
Yes.
And then they had to have a machine at home. Mm. And they used to talk to each other on the way to work and on the way home from work. It was just great. Now, I suppose everybody gets in their car and drives somewhere else.
Yes.
Which...
But your mum worked in the library here, didn't she?
Yeah, because first of all, Auntie Elsie worked in the library. She was Ron Hallett's wife. It was only open a couple of evenings a week, I think. It was in the Toc H room, which I think probably isn't there now. If you go up Gainsborough, when you get just beyond Semmering, where young Tom Dyke lived...
I don't know.
The shoemender had a place there. Right. And you went up the steps, and that's where the Toc H used to meet. And they
what do you mean by the Toc H?
Toc H, I think it stands for Talbot House.
Right.
I'm not sure. You'd have to Google that. and so anyway, then for some reason they moved it down to what I knew as the Town Hall.
Yes.
And Mum ran it then, and she ran it for years, and that was good.
It's now in the building which is almost opposite the Town Hall, on the corner.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's about to close down.
Oh, not again.
Yes. It's,
because when they discovered Mum was over retirement age by 3 or 4 years, they said, oh, you'll have to leave Mrs. Loughman. And she said, well, I don't mind going on working. No, you can't do that because we can't insure you.
Oh.
So Mum had to leave. They closed it down. Then when Mum went down to Wheathill Close to live, she knew what all the old folk around there read, what the books they liked.
Yes.
And so when the mobile van came round, she'd climb up the steps and go into the mobile library to choose people's books for them. And then years later, they did open the one up at the cross. And there's a lovely photo somewhere at home of, so they'd invited her back to the opening of this new one.
Mm.
Because I remember when the cross was there.
Mm. Yes, I've seen pictures of the old cross.
Yeah, because now
there.
It's down on Bandstand, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right, yes. I've seen pictures of the lovely trees along North Street. You probably remember the trees.
Yes,
along North Street. Of course, no trees there now.
Because my sister went to Yeovil High, and I was so sick of being the other one. Not at home with my parents, but, oh, you know, are you Barbara or the other one? I thought, and by the time I went to grammar school, I had the choice of Sherborne or Yeovil.
Right.
And so I chose Sherborne, Lord Digby School.
Right.
And I went there.
Quickly going back to cars, you can remember, and there's too many cars here now, according to you, but you can remember the first cars here because your uncle
had one. Oh, yeah. There are very, very few. Uncle Ron had one because he had to go out to the station to collect the newspapers and bring them back in and sort them out.
Yes.
The doctor had one. The Southcombs had one. And that was about it. Mm. And Uncle,
didn't you used to stand on the...
Yeah, Uncle Ron's car was great. It had running boards each
side.
Yes. And I used to go round with a friend, Jeannie, on a Thursday night, and we'd deliver the Western Gazettes, and he'd wind all four windows down, and we'd stand one each side with our hand through what was the back window and grip onto the bit in between.
Ooh, health and safety, health and safety.
Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And then he'd poke out the right paper because you had a Somerset or a Dorset and an A or a B, depending on the adverts. And he'd just sit in the driver's seat, poke it out the window at us, and we'd run up the path and run after the car and jump on the running board.
Fun. It just sounds like
and no
fun.
Hard hats,
innocent,
no high-vis jackets.
Fun.
Yeah.
Talking of friends then, you've had the friend called Jeannie. What other friends did you have that you remember most?
I remember Betty Thompson. She lived... If you went along the road past the gasworks and up... There used to be a letterbox on the wall opposite her house. I don't know if it's there now. If you were going to the factory, to Enter's factory...
Yes.
There were two houses there because her dad worked at Mr. Ryle's farm, I think it was. Mm. So, because I remember I was kicking around at home, I was probably about four, and I was a bit bored, and Mum said, there's some two children in that house, and she explained where it was. She said, why don't you go and see if you can play with them? And so I went down and knocked on the door, and Mrs. Thompson came to the door. Oh, come in. And because they'd just moved here. And Betty and I were friendly from then on. We both went to Lord Digby School. She's in Australia now, I hoped. I didn't get a Christmas card from her, but I hope she's still out there.
But how times have changed that your mum said, just nip down the road and knock on a complete stranger's door
absolutely.
And ask if you can play with their children.
Yeah.
How wonderful. So what do you remember, if anything, about the factories that were here then and how they sort of fitted in with the village life?
Well, the men were there and they all... It was great because people knew everybody, each other.
Mm.
Remember what you said about the church and the chapel people?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Church people tended to work at Thomasensis. Chapel tended to work at Dykes. Church people tended to live at the top of Manor Road and chapel down on White Road, the bottom bit.
Right.
So I didn't know the White Road people quite as much because I was a church person.
So you call it White Road?
White. It used to be a concrete, I think.
Oh, at the bottom of...
Bottom of Manor Road. Because you used to go down...
Is that Wick Road? No.
You used to go down the first block of houses on Manor Road and then there was a turning circle, which was good because you could have tug of war and all sorts of things then.
Yes, I bet.
And then go on down again, and there was another turning circle, and then a road across to Bornton's Orchard.
Oh, yes.
Which we used to call Pink Road, because it had pink gravel.
Right.
But also it was called Peace, I think.
Yes, Yes.
And after that, it down Manor Road, it was white concrete.
Oh, I see.
Because it was built much later.
Well, that piece
of the planes, the air raid sirens. Now, when I'm watching Dad or listening to Dad's Army, and the siren goes, and I find I'm doing that. You know.
Did you have a shelter in your garden here?
Yeah. Dad and Mr. Keynes, his neighbour, they built a shelter up at the back of the house, between the two houses, and they dug down and they put a bit of galvanised over the top.
Yes.
And that was fine. We used to, when the siren went, we'd run up the path and get in there, shut the door and light a candle. It was for, you know, both families. And then the all clear would go and go back down again. But that first winter, it did rain rather a lot and the place flooded. So after that, they got rid of it. And we used to sit in, there was a cupboard in the kitchen, because Dad was convinced that was the safest place because there wouldn't be any glass flying around because there were no windows.
Mm.
And the smell of soda, washing soda and things, still brings back the memory.
Oh, smells are so evocative, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh. And so you grew up with rationing.
Yes.
What do you remember about that then?
Oh. Well, I remember, I mean, I just accepted it because that was all I knew.
You wouldn't have known anything else.
Yeah.
Do you remember after rationing then, having something for the first time and being...
Oh, I remember we were up in Bristol with... Because Mum's parents moved up to Bristol. And we were up there on the weekend that they stopped sweets being rationed.
Ah.
And I remember going out and buying sweets.
Yes.
Yeah.
That must have been very exciting.
I remember queuing for bread down at Tommy Coombs's, the bakery.
Heard of that, yes.
Because...
Church choir, right.
Yes, I used to have to go to Sunday school twice a Sunday, and it was so boring.
Oh, I bet.
And once a month, we'd have a mornings go in the morning. We'd go over to cross to the church because we met in church house.
Yes. That's where we have our talks.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And Mr. Sinclair, who was the church organist, he heard me singing because I don't know anyway, and he said to Mum, "Would I join the church choir?" I thought, oh, I got to go to Sunday school and church. And sometimes it's four services on a Sunday. And Mum said, you can leave the Sunday school if you join the choir.
Yes.
But the girls in those days, we were very much inferior beings. The boys used to wear ruffs and surplices.
Oh, yes.
And they'd process around the church and they'd sat. If you could... Of course, you didn't see it in those days, did you? If you go up the main aisle and underneath the transept, before you get to the rood screen, the choir sat there
at right
angles to the congregation, and the boys sat in the front pews each side, and then the men, and we girls were stuck behind them, and Mr. Sinclair, the organist, was behind me here. And I know we got into trouble because Mary Cass,
yes.
She was in the choir as well, and we used to talk during the evening services because we'd already heard that sermon. And we got into trouble. So I went home one Sunday lunchtime and I said, "What's that?" I said, "Mrs. Southcombe." I said, "She's been complaining because we talked during the sermon." Only whisper, you know. So Mum said, "Well, learn the finger alphabet." Luckily, she knew the A, B, C, D, you know, the deaf people.
Oh, yes.
So I learnt that, and I taught it to Mary. And we used to sit there looking, I'm sure, very angelic, looking down at our hands and chatting away.
Oh, lovely. That's wonderful.
You used to gnaw the pew in front or something, I remember you saying.
You're a bit hungry. You must be very bored to start. So this part of Melbourne Port that you're in now then, so you remember the bridge out here.
Mm.
So and
there were lots of bats down here.
Oh, yes.
Because we used to have music lessons with Mrs. Pullen, who was up in Westview.
Right.
And I used to walk down Manor Road, down Court Lane, over the bridge, up Kingsbury Hill, go for my music lessons. But in the winter, when I went home, I'd go after school, and it would be dark, and there's no way I would walk the same way back home with all bats. So I used to go down Westview and through the town and up Gainsborough because I want to avoid these blessed bats.
We and the station then, I was surprised when I first moved here to discover that the station had actually been built outside the village and you actually used to have to
drive to get... Yes, it was about a mile and a half,
yeah. Do you remember using a train from here at all? Did you?
Yes. We didn't go to London very often, but... And I know when I won 2 tickets to go to see My Fair Lady in London. And I think it was a fete or something down at Fenn.
Right.
And I won the 2 tickets. And I asked my boyfriend if he wanted to go, and he said, "Yeah, don't go there." So I said, "All right, I'll take my mum."
Right.
And mum and I went, and we came back on what was known as the paper train, which was the one very late at night that carried all the papers on it.
Yes.
And Dad, bless him, he was in bed, and he could hear this train from the bedroom. So he came down and put the kettle on so that when we came in, we could have a cup of tea. Aww.
Your parents sound lovely.
Yes, yeah.
And they were from the village themselves then, were they? Or...
Dad was.
Right. So the Luffman name is quite a well-known name, is it, in the village?
Grandpa Luffman, he was born at number 1 Bourdon's Orchard.
Oh, yes.
And he was the oldest of 12.
Wow.
And then when he got married, he moved down to number 3. and that's where Dad was born.
So do you have lots of relatives in the village still?
No, unfortunately. Because he had 8 children, and then gloving was in short supply in this country. So a lot of them went to America to earn money.
Wow.
Because the place is called Gloversville, I believe, where they went to. And then when he came back, and they had 4 more. But oh, they were a funny bunch. Because Uncle Harry, Aunt Alice and Aunt Jane didn't get married. They stayed at number 1 Bourdon's Orchard until they died. Mm. And Aunt Alice, my friends used to think they were witches.
I remember her.
Did
that.
You think so? Yeah.
You'd go into, because she didn't like to touch the electric light because she was scared.
This is
of
what
it.
You were telling me in your text, wasn't it?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And it's sort of like, and yeah, so you'd go, everything would be really dark and she wouldn't want to turn the light on. And
and Mum used to do their washing towards the end of their lives. And I'd have to take the clean washing back. And I used to go in the back door because then I'd pass Aunt Jane, who'd be sitting by the fire, and not Aunt Alice, because Aunt Alice would always reach out and I didn't like her reaching out. And then she'd give me pass me the biscuit tin.
Not all bad then. Do you remember the fire, the factory fire?
Yes.
What can you remember about that?
It was... Yeah, and her uncles were a little bit... They lived off the profits, shall we say, they get free petrol for the cars and things like that. If they needed a refill, they'd go down to the factory. Even if they were going off to Africa or something for a holiday, you know, they'd get the petrol there. And a lot of people were convinced that fire was started deliberately to claim on the insurance.
Oh, blimey.
But they said, no, it's the, it must have been a firework.
Right. Ooh, controversial. Mm-hmm. April remembers being, obviously it was devastating because for the actual, for everybody, for the people that worked there as well as for the people that owned it.
Didn't Grantfee work it?
Yes.
Which one burnt then?
That was Ensor's,
right.
Because on a Tuesday, Mum used to wait for me outside church school. We'd go downtown for doing whatever she needed to do, and then we'd call in on Auntie Elsie on the way home. She lived down Wheat Hill Lane.
Yes.
And have a cup of tea, and they'd talk. And then when we walked home, we'd go along Cold Harbour, down Factory Hill, and I used to write, there was a path that ran along past the factory to Bullen's Ground.
Yes, that's and still I, there, that path.
Yeah, and I used to wave to Dad because I could see him.
That's sweet.
And then we'd go on home.
Does sound like a lovely childhood.
But it was just so free and so safe and so... Everybody knew you. Mm. I mean, once when I was on my bike, and I suppose I was going to Sherburn or something, and Mr. Craggs, the postman, saw me go down Gainsborough. And I didn't stop and halt because there was a curve in the road. You couldn't see round the bend anyway, but you used to listen. You could hear if a car was coming. Mm. And I just sort of cycled round because I could hear there wasn't a car coming.
Mm.
Mm. And he told Mum that really I should be careful. I should stop at church school.
So people looked out for each other.
Yes, they did. They did.
Well, I like to think some people still do that. But
I hope so.
Don't
they? Well, thank you for £1.19 to go and get them because they were in Sherborne in Long Street. And we went and we thought, now, if we catch a bus, we'll have to save up for another week or two because it was threepence bus ticket. So we decided, all right, we'll walk in, buy these skates and skate home. I mean, can you imagine two primary school children walking along the A30 to Sherburn?
Mm.
You know, it's...
No, absolutely not. Mm. I mean, it's so dangerous, that road.
Yeah.
But even going anyway, even if it weren't a dangerous road, the thought of two primary school children going off on their own.
And skating home, as we thought, but we in the end we gave up. And as long as you turned up for tea...
Yes.
Then
you
were fine, yeah. And then we had somebody called Betty Ostler. She had very curly hair, I remember. She only came for August, and Dad is convinced her parents sort of sent her down to have a holiday for August. And then we had Georgie Long, and he was one of five or seven children. And he was from Southampton, and he only had the clothes he was wearing.
Mm.
And they all had scabies,
mm.
and they had to get in a farmer's cart, go up to Wincanton to be treated for, you know, to get the lice cleared and had purple stuff around their mouths for this impetigo. And I know Barbie and I thought, oh, wish we could get some purple stuff. So Barbie got her out of her paint box and we made the colour purple and we put it on our... faces, but it didn't. It soon washed off. Because you know? Granny Luffman, Grampy Luffman had some trousers with the knees all worn out, so she undid all the stitching, made George some short trousers out of Grampy's old ones, and that was fine. And then they went back to because I think she made two pairs. They had a weekend when they could all go home to Southampton again, when there was a lull in the bobbing.
Mm.
When George came back, he only had one pair of trousers he was wearing because the other ones had been sold for beer money.
Yeah.
I mean, he was... Yeah. And he came back to Melbourne. Mum was down in we were so close by then. And... there was this knock at the door and this stranger was there. And it was George Long. And he said, Mrs. Leffler, yeah. Oh, he said, he said his name. And she said, oh, come on in. And she said, what are your memories of being an evacuee? And he said, well, he said, I had to go to this house. There were some old people running it, which is our house, Mum and Dad. And Mum worked out that he was actually older when he came back than they had been.
Yes. Of course, when you're young, everybody, anybody over the age of 20 is ancient. That's great.